Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're live in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios on a bench. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench. Don't forget, we'll put out the podcast of the show tonight on Twitter, at On The Bench CBS and at Scott Farrell, and on onthebenchcbs.com. I don't even know wherever the hell else it goes. One other thing, Snapchat, Farrell On Bench is back. Apparently, your boy Carver High has come through in the clutch and found a way to re-up the whole deal.
I would find a way to get that color printer working.
So it's going on, starting back up tonight, full on.
We are back, baby.
And then,
but you're getting live Snapchat starting tomorrow in Vegas. Right. Live Snapchat for 10 days.
Live Snapchat in Vegas. So make
sure weekend edition.
Follow us there. Also get the I Am Scott Farrell app for free in the App Store. You're going to love it. Make sure you check out the brand new broadcast page on it, which means live streaming video. We will film live the entire trip to Vegas, 11-day bender. We call it Farrellageddon. It is unbelievable. I'm a little surprised Rick Haro isn't going to the Mayweather fight. You go to every sporting event in the world, Olympics, everything. You go to every game that matters. You go to all the Super Bowl, all the All-Star games, all the majors in golf, even my favorite, the Open Championship. You go to everything. You're everywhere in the world, always. Why are you not going to Mayweather-McGregor?
Dolphins tomorrow, Tennis Hall of Fame over the weekend, U.S. Open.
Tennis Hall of Fame? What is that?
Yeah, I know. Well, they're doing a little induction thing, and I'm gonna play up there on the grass. That'll be kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to keep going.
I played tennis in St. Thomas, by the way. I was playing on clay down in the Caribbean, and I brought out... You know, whatever. I brought the kids out there, and I hit strokes with them for an hour or something. It was 100 degrees. We were soaking wet. But when they were done butchering shots, when they left and quit, I stayed on the court. I had like 10 balls, and I just cranked serves for a half an hour.
We should, you know, next time we should do that, especially since my question was, where are you on September 3, and why are you out there for 10 days?
Well, because I'm staying for the following week. I work with William Hill and the D Casino, as you know, and I do the first week of college football season in Vegas.
Ah, awesome. So I'm going to Penn State Akron. One of those bucket list things. I've never been to Happy Valley, and I've done a special kind of for Reuters, but never been to a game. And I know Akron's going to be bad. But then the West Virginia-Virginia Tech game.
Are you going to the Dolphins at Eagles tomorrow night?
Oh yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
All right. That's so.
So I got eight sporting events in 10 days, and McGregor is not one of them. So I'm gonna just tune into you.
All right. Well, I'll be live Thursday and Friday from the MGM starting tomorrow. Let me ask you this question. I said earlier tonight that I would not play Jay Cutler at all right now for the remainder of this stupid, meaningless preseason. Why would they throw him out there to get injured?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. They believe in Matt Moore, but, I mean, the rest of the season would be over if that happens. And I guess it's rust. I'll tell you tomorrow because I think the plan is to play him for a half, which may be too long.
Jesus.
Remember, I know he's going to step on the field, and he's earned people's respect, and he's played for all those years, and he played for Adam Gase, and the
whatever.
Best he had was 2015. But you got to get him in a little bit, I think. Last week it was a series and a half. And everybody was excited that he was walking at the end of it because they had four third-string linemen protecting him. That's what I'm worried about. I guess you too.
Yeah. So while I'm on the scene in Miami, what do you think of the new Miami Canes quarterback?
I like the guy a lot. I told you I did. And, you know, those other two guys that are competing for it, but this guy Perry, it's going to make people forget Brad Kaya. I think everybody already has. But it's really too bad Miami plays Florida State early in the year because one team then goes down and has to get back up just like they did last year. But they, you know, they're ranked in the top 20, which for Miami to start the season that way is pretty darn good, and their defense is back.
I wore my Canes hat everywhere in the Caribbean. I also have on my I Am Scott Farrell app, the new broadcast page you heard me talking about. When you go to that page on my app, you'll see it. The photo for that page is me wearing that hat.
That's wonderful.
I look fantastic in it.
Breathless. I can hardly wait.
I mean, my Canes gear, as you know,
is stout.
My Jim Kelly jersey, Michael Irvin, all, you know, even the Bone Crusher. I got it all. I remember going to the Georgia Tech Canes game with you at the Orange Bowl and getting drunk in a hurricane. I do remember that.
Yeah,
I don't remember anything else.
The fans were unruly, so we can leave it at that.
All right. Let me ask you this question. The Derek Jeter finally got his hands on the Marlins.
Yeah.
What is the plan for all of those executives? Are they all out, and will they keep – I don't see how they could trade Stanton because of his contract.
Well, yeah, but there might be somebody like the Dodgers. What a game today, by the way, with Hill. I don't know if you saw that.
We saw it.
Yeah, of course you saw it. The Dodgers and maybe the Yankees and maybe the Mets would be the only guys – who could take that contract off their hands, and I'd like to see him at Wrigley, obviously. But he's the face of the franchise. That would be a total disaster. Everybody's waiting to see what Jeter does. His hands are tied until the owners actually formally approve. And the question is, does he represent South Florida? He's not really a South Floridian. He's a New Yorker, but he grew up over in Tampa.
Right.
And with Mattingly, and he has a lot of Yankee influence in this thing. I think everybody's waiting for anybody but Jeff Loria would be people what people say, and David Sampson officially has gotten the word he will not stay.
Are there more Yankee fans down there in Tampa and Miami than there are Marlins fans?
Yeah, well, there have been, right? And so especially the way the Yankees have been playing. And, when you have an empty stadium, the team that comes in, especially in a tourist town like Miami, buys up all the seats, and it's kind of disastrous. But they put a streak together. I think everybody's juiced down here about the change of ownership.
Okay, let's go through the 15 of the ones that I want to talk about with you. The fight, you believe it will be huge in terms of revenue and pay-per-view. And, 200,000 people are cascading into Las Vegas. I'm leaving at 3:30 in the morning tonight for Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a good time, and the economic impact is huge because, you may not spend a lot of coin, but all those 200,000 people are going to. And for the fight itself, it'll break the over and under line of 4.9 million subscribers at the 99 per. It'll be about $450 million in revenue. And, Mayweather gets the cut of $350. You don't know what McGregor's going to get, but it's going to be life-changing. And so it's a billion-dollar event.
In the aftermath of Charlottesville, we've been talking tonight about Kaepernick and the protests in the NFL on Park Avenue today. After Charlottesville, because, I had Jason Lockenfora on. He brought up Charlottesville, and I was like, what does the NFL have to do with Charlottesville and that Nazi rally? I don't want to hear it. It has nothing to do with it. But you have a better point that people like LeBron and others are using after the Charlottesville the platform to basically talk about how much they hate Donald Trump.
Well, what they're doing is they're speaking out about how important it is to be relevant. And the fact is that the Kaepernick issue is important. But at the end of the day, it's also really important that guys aren't penalized for standing up. Steve Ross down here is a very open-minded guy. To let my guys do what they want to do. Of course, they signed Cutler, not Kaepernick, which was the right move for that offense anyway. But Kaepernick gets picked up week two, week three when somebody goes down, I think, I hope, because he may be the best guy out there. But as a forum for social change, you talked about that all day. The only thing it has to do with Charlottesville is athletes are now speaking up a lot more than they used to.
Maria Sharapova set to compete in her first major with an invite to the U.S. Open. I believe that she's in love with me.
Yeah, well, you got to dust off that old sound, but do you still have it?
I do. Let's listen closely.
Go. Listen closely.
No. No.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well done. And since Serena and Novak and Stan Wawrinka are not there, and, you may want to hear her screams and a few extra rounds. A lot of people are saying that she gets in, she loses early, but it's better than not having.
I like the girl that won the French and the girl that keeps winning majors. She's something else. I forget her name, but you know who I'm talking about. She just won the French Open. She's something else. And Wimbledon, right? What was her name? Garapova or something like this. What's her name?
Muguruza.
Yeah, there you go. I think she's hot, too, and yeah, I'm going to say that.
If you have any chance of having her recognize you, you ought to pronounce her name right, okay?
Listen, I could care less about some chick tennis player. As long as she's in love with me, that's all that matters.
Yeah, well.
And as long as I can improve my ground strokes.
Clearly. You're 0 for 2. All right,
okay, let's move on. The Mercedes-Benz Stadium's ready for action.
Yeah, it's about time. It'll be a great event. August 26th, the preseason game. That's a couple days from now. The roof is going to be closed, but the bottom line is once it gets open and closed for the times in Atlanta that you want to play open, it's going to be amazing. And every one of these stadiums, by the way, better than the one before. Dallas, still great. Minnesota Super Bowl this next year. Atlanta, just as good.
The Seattle deal is going to be finalized for the Key Arena that they're going to renovate it.
Yeah, they're going to renovate it, but it's going to look like a new one. And the group, the Oakview Group, looks like they're the front runners for the renovation. The guys, Chris Hansen, the hedge fund guy, wants to build a new arena, but he hasn't gotten a scheduling agreement with the Mariners and the Seahawks yet, and that's key. So you got two groups with two different plans, but the mayor says he wants to get this done before he leaves office at the end of the year. And then, of course, if Seattle gets the arena done, it's basketball and or hockey.
Is the World Cup going to come to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, that bid?
Yeah, but they wanted to get it done in advance. But because Morocco came up with a bid, tiny Morocco, they've got to go through the normal process now. They'll get it for 2026, but 80 matches and 44 American cities. There are some in Mexico, some in Canada. It'll be a big deal.
Why are they closing Qualcomm Stadium? Is it just so old and a dump? Or what's San Diego State going to do in, like, the Holiday Bowl?
Yeah, well, the Holiday Bowl, they'll figure out what to do with. And San Diego State's going to have a smaller building. But they're losing money every time they keep it open. And with the Chargers not there, then they're saying it's better for us to close it, which is really kind of too bad because it's been iconic. And even if it's old, remember like the Orange Bowl, it was sat there for a while before the tenants figured things out. And by the way, well, I'll do this. I'm going to that opening game in Carson, the StubHub Center with the Chargers. That stadium's going to be cool for a couple of years. 30,000 people in an NFL stadium, that'll be fun.
Yeah, except the team sucks.
I understand.
The NBA season's all about player rest and health. That's funny.
Well, yeah, but it's better than last year. So remember when Popovich and guys said, let's sit out our guys, but even if it was a marquee game? This year, you can't go more than 3,500 miles in 7 days for a marquee nationally televised game. Can't be scheduled. You also can't play 4 games in 5 nights like they have before. So it removes the excuses from the coaches, and it's one of those things that they think will get the players and owners to come closer together. The biggest thing that come closer together with them is more money, and they're getting it.
Rick Caro with us, going to the Dolphins-Eagles game tomorrow night, our sports business insider and legal analyst on CBS Sports Radio. Ticket sales booming for the Golden Knights in Vegas?
Yeah, you'll see it. You'll see it firsthand. October 10, that first game. By the way, $2,000 for seats close to the ice. The team's not going to be real good, but they may be better than prior expansion teams. And brisk not only ticket sales, but season tickets are at the cap. And Gary Bettman is saying, listen, it's a big deal for us. It's really important for us. And the bottom line is this is really, really important.
So when does, lastly, the U.S. Open tennis end? Like, I'm back on September 3rd or something. When does the U.S. Open end?
You got a week after you come back.
Okay, so you'll be up in New York.
Yeah, but I'll be up in New York next week when you're in Vegas.
When you're not going to come for the finals of the U.S. Open?
No, I'm going to the opening Dolphin game, which is the same day.
I got to come down. I got to come down for a Dolphin game this year for sure.
Well, you were just planning our normal stuff, right?
Road trip, Carver High.
Yeah,
I'm dying to get down there.
Well,
all right.
I got a place. Carver
Bills
High.
Dolphins.
Let's go. Hey, Haro, we need to mooch your 50-yard line seats again.
We'll do it. And we also have a Cuba thing. Let's not forget that.
I want to go to Cuba. Amy here that works at CBS, she went to Cuba before us. She had an amazing journey to Havana for the second year in a row. And she basically mocks you and I because we talk about going and we never go. And she goes 2 years in a row and saves lives. And you and I are selfish, worthless people.
Don't look, anybody that's mocking you, don't have them mock me along with it. Okay, that's the bottom.
Listen, I just want you to know the Caribbean was fantastic. I look terrific. I have a deep plush tan, and I got a nice clean clip today. I look fantastic.
It's a lot of fun to hear you talk about yourself. Goodbye.
Thank you. Rick Haro, ladies and gentlemen. 855-212-4227. Don't forget, Pharrellageddon with Carver High beginning in under 24 hours from Las Vegas. We'll be there tomorrow for breakfast.
No question.
I mean, we're there for breakfast, bro.
Anything can happen.
We're going to have a bagel at the airport this morning, but we're going to go there and have breakfast when we land.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, let's pick up Taylor in Dallas on the ticket. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, man, while I disagree with your opinion, I have to respect your opinion. And, you know, I just feel like to sit here and say that the white players are just doing it for attention, I feel like you're discounting what they're doing and their reason for doing it when you don't even know why. I feel like the white player for the Cleveland Browns, the tight end, is doing it because he has biracial children. You can't discount him and say he's doing it just for attention, man.
I just said, like, but specifically, fair enough, you're talking about that guy. That's fair enough. I'm talking about anyone else. I didn't specifically say this guy or that guy. I just think a lot of them – in my opinion, just do it to make themselves look good. I don't think they're actually – I don't truly believe that they sit around all day worrying about all their teammates' racial problems or inequality. I think all these guys, most of the ones that I know – I'm just saying, the ones I know that I've met in my 35 years of doing this, they're all out for one thing, and I'm being honest, they're out for money. Fat contracts to get paid, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They're not out to save the world. They don't care about anybody else but themselves. Everyone I ever met of these dudes, and I know, dude, if you only knew, I know hundreds of them. I know hundreds of them. They're all about money. All they care about is money. That's it.
But it's not about saving the world. It's about bringing attention to there's a social disconnect in this country where we're becoming more.
I agree with that.
From each other.
I don't. But I don't disagree with that. Don't like paint me into a corner. Like I don't. I've said a million times. I agree with that. I agree with everything that Kaepernick did. I agree with what Bennett's doing. I agree with what Jenkins believes. I agree with what you believe. I just don't believe all them white players give a rat's ass.
But I think it's on another level. It's more in depth than just about Colin Kaepernick taking the knee because there was police brutality. I think it's become more in depth because of what happened in Charlottesville. I think people are realizing that there is a disconnect in this country. And I think that's why you see more white players.
I don't, you know, I'm fair enough. I don't think that Charlottesville, you know, that's the latest flavor of the day, apparently, now that everyone's lumping that into the mix. This whole thing with Kaepernick and police brutality, Black Lives Matter, all that was a long, you know, train ride ago. That was like, you know, that's over the last, let's say, 24 months, long before that white supremacist Nazi BS in Charlottesville and all that violence, which was just hate-filled from the jump. But I still, frankly, don't understand the connect between frankly, Charlottesville and the NFL, it has nothing to do with one or the other.
It necessarily had to be a connection. It's the fact that we're all human beings and we all are seeing what's going on in this world, and it's not something that's going in the right direction.
I would agree. I agree with that as well. Like, I guess my question to you is, so since I agree with everything you're saying, what do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you. What I want to ask you is, how does this affect you? How does it affect anybody in the world? Because I keep hearing everybody say they're protesting against the flag, and they're missing the whole idea of why they're doing what they're doing. They're not protesting against the flag. They're protesting against the fact that people don't take the time to try to understand someone else's perspective.
I agree with that. Now, let me say this. All right, fair enough. I also agree with that. I don't think this is about the flag. I think when I this is my racial experience in the big city, okay, here in New York. You're fair enough. You're in Dallas. You get the same thing. All right, so most of my friends, let's just say, that I know, they all stick together. The blacks stick together. The whites stick together. Are you fair with that? Like, is that about right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would say that that's all right, just from the beginning, that's a problem. Okay, so if everybody's always sticking together, so let's say all the blacks are sticking together, the whites are sticking together, they do everything in the same pockets, nobody ever crosses over, all the TV shows are about, you know, either all black, because like I watch all those growing up hip-hop.
Come on, man, you have black friends.
Oh, no, listen. All right, so listen, my point is that I watch all those shows. I like them, and I watch a lot of them. The hip-hop, Hollywood, all this other. I watch them, and and I love those shows. I watch them late at night, 4 in the morning when I'm in bed. They're all 100% pure black, right? Fair enough. There's no white people on those shows. So here in New York, when I'm playing ball, I play with tons of brothers, and I get along with all of them, and I love it. I have a million friends from basketball that I play in leagues with and in pickup with 4 or 5 days a week. That is my best interaction racially with other races, the black and white race, that I can find on the face of the earth, because I'll be honest with you, there is no other connection. There's no other connection. I don't know anybody like Mafia. How many times have you seen me have parties at my house when I invited every single one of my brother friends that I play basketball came to my house? How many?
Ton.
All of them. When do I associate with other races at parties at my house, right? Or playing basketball? Is that right?
Yeah.
When else? Never. And that's the problem. Like, it's nobody hangs out. I don't hang out with anybody. Like, I have parties. I invite all my brother friends. I have basketball. I play with brothers every day of the week. That is my only interaction, and it's fantastic, my friendships. And I have nothing but friends from all black and white, nothing but friends playing hoops. Nothing but friends when I invite them all to my house to have parties. But beyond that, they don't want nothing to do with me. And all my friends are the same way. They all hang out. Listen, the whites hang out, the Jews hang out, the blacks hang out, and that's all there is to it. That is just all there is to it. All you need to know.
What we identify with, it does not change the fact that there's a social disconnect that we have to get past in this country. And if the pro players can use their platform and say, hey, I recognize there's a social disconnect in this country, so if the white player that stands next to me that can play on the same team with me and he can support me during the national anthem when I sit down or I take a knee, and we can understand that there's a problem in this country, why can't the whole country understand?
Listen, I'm with you. I'm with you, bro, but here's the problem. You take a good look. There was one guy. There was one little skinny white guy with all the brothers kneeling down, and thank God for him because nobody else was doing it. All right, there you go. You and I are on the same page. There's social inequality across all brands that we're talking about here at every level. And we're beating our head against the wall. It doesn't matter what I say to you. You just don't hear me. Have you noticed that? Carver, did you notice it? Like, I was like, brother, I agree with every single thing you're saying. I got 50 million friends. I have parties. I think, no, you don't. There's a disconnect. Shut up. There is a disconnect because the brothers don't want to hang out with white people. That's all there is to it. And the white people ain't hanging out with the brothers. And the Jews aren't hanging out with it. They're all doing whatever they want, everybody. And where I live, it's the same thing. It's all Jewish or it's all white or it's all black. It don't matter. That's all there is to it. Carver High, where do you, let's see. I've been to your club. Let me see. Who hangs out at your club? All white Irish guys. Is that about right?
For the most part.
The Jews, they hang out together like nobody's business. Where I live, it's 95% Jewish. Like, if you're not Jewish, they don't even want you there. Blacks, like, are you kidding me? What, are they going to invite all the white people over to the picnic? Are you kidding? Stop lying to yourself, please. But you're right. I'm with you. There's a disconnect, and it ain't changing. Just because some white football player kneels down before a game, please, I'm going to hurl. Jesus. God. Really? A football player for the Cleveland Browns going to save the world? What is he, Jesus? Thank God. What time's our flight?
I can't. 6.5
hours. I swear to God, I can't save the world tonight. I can't do it. You can't win. This is like a no-win argument. I'll be smashing my face into a wall all day. You're not going to win this. What, am I going to cure the racial problems in this country? Please. Or Susan Sarandon's going to cure them? Please. Bring back Martin Luther King. He's got the best shot. I don't want to hear about some actress that shows up to make herself look good either.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, let me get this straight. I want to hear it right from your mouth. So you went to college, right? And so we were having a conversation in the break about your education and everything. So you think that it was not, because I think you went to Seton Hall, you were in the broadcast school, right?
Right.
And you learned how to do college radio, right?
Right.
So then you started working for me as an intern, right? And then you went full-time with me, right?
Yep.
And you've been with me a decade.
Yes, I have.
And then you became the executive producer of the show, and then you essentially rose through the ranks at Sirius and then CBS. You not only run the show with Carver High, but you also basically train everyone in this company. Is that not about right? Like, no one wants to admit it, but that's what you do.
Yeah, a lot of new people that need to train on the board, they bring on a night for us to work with.
That's exactly what happened. So you're telling me, but what did the college do other than siphon money from you? And you paid student loans for, whatever, 10, 15 years. What did it do besides you drank beer and you paid massive student loans back? I mean, honestly, you learned how to do like college radio, what, running a board or something? What did you really, was your education not really in the real world that I think it helped you get started or got you like, oh, you went to college. Great. I think it helped. But you understand, when I was at Indiana, I worked at a Chicago-owned radio station. It was not a college radio station.
Right.
It was a real radio station. I went on the air. I was doing 60 hours a week on air, mornings, afternoons, weekends, overnight. I DJed. I did everything. I was actually working on a radio station like any station here at CBS, no different, and I was doing my thing. That was my education. Nothing I did in college in a classroom did jack shack for me ever in my life.
No, classrooms not going to learn you anything about radio. Everything you learn about radio, you learn from experience. But that's where it was different for me at Seton Hall than it is a lot of these other stations. A lot of these college radio stations, just some little hole in the wall, you know, underneath a staircase or something, where you're playing CDs from your own collection to a radio station that gets out to the parking lot. I mean,
right.
Seton Hall is at least it's a station in the New York market.
It's a great station.
That only that's the only, you know, bastion for rock outside of just classic rock in the New
right.
York area. So all these bands
it's
are coming
hardcore
through.
Rock.
You're dealing all hard rock, heavy metal. You're dealing with all the record labels. You're dealing with, you know, shows. Like, the managers actually run. As a sports manager, I had to actually make schedules. I had to book guests and do things like that. You have call-in shows. It's a different experience than other. It was more closest to a regular radio station as you're going to get as far as college radio. A lot of college radio stations are just garbage. That one is, you know, has won awards nationally.
So you think, but do you think that?
But I learned more there than I did in the classroom.
How much money did it cost you? How much does it cost to go to Seton Hall every year?
It's like somewhere around 30 grand. I had like half scholarship academically. So yeah, I probably had like 15 grand in loans every year.
So 4 years at 15.
Yeah.
So
$60,000 in loans. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you thought it was worth it to pay that 60 grand?
Partially. I mean, I'm with you where going to class for all these, you know, going to all these other, these core classes that have nothing to do with what I'm going to
go for. It was a waste of time.
Yeah.
An absolute waste of time.
My world religion class or my physics class have nothing to do with what I was going for in my career.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was just drink beer and meet people and try to get naked.
Yes.
Thank you. That's what it is. College is a giant party. And then I want to know, like, because I've never met anybody that said, can I see your transcripts? I want to see your grades. I've never had that once in my life.
No, I've never checked my GPA ever.
Ever. It's a facade. That's a lie. I don't even know. What is that? Like, do they actually do that somewhere, like in business school or something? They want to see your grades?
In other professions,
they don't do it in this one.
No, they don't.
You're either entertaining and know how to do it or you aren't.
There's no master's classes for radio.
Thanks. What a bunch of geniuses I work with. I got to tell you. The Rhodes Scholars. CJ in Alabama, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
How's it going, Pharrell?
Hey, man.
About the whole Charlottesville NFL thing, I don't understand, and I do want to ask you a question. When in your life have you ever been walking through town or whichever, and a statue say something to offend you? Now, I'm from Alabama, you know, so it's, I guess, considered the most racist place on the planet.
Right.
But and I'm proud to be Southern. I'm by far not racist. I agree with everything everyone is protesting about.
Right.
But why do they think that by erasing the past, you're going to create a better future? That's not going to happen. There's too many people that already know the history and are proud. Yeah, slavery was a terrible thing. But we can't go back and change that. We need to learn from that to create a better
future. I would agree with that, and I think that you have to, it has to be an educational experience for every human being in life to know exactly where it started and how we got here and where we are today and where we want to go tomorrow. And I think that, you know, I live down there. I've never seen anything like it, the Confederate flags and everything. I'm 52, so I've seen it all. Basically, you know, I've been around for a while, and I've seen all that in the Deep South. I live down there, and it was crazy. Like, I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, at the same time, I got to be honest with you, it never, like, freaked me out that much that I, like, it, you know, where it turned my life upside down and I couldn't sleep at night. Like, I didn't look at it that way. I just was like, wow, this is crazy. You know, this stuff's kind of crazy. And it certainly is, it's hair-raising what went on. And the Confederate flag and all the rest and the racism and the, I mean, listen, just even the Civil War itself, if you experienced what went on in the Deep South in the Civil War and you go to any of those battlefields, wherever, in Georgia or Alabama and everything else, I mean, it is some crazy stuff that happened, and the stories are unbelievable. And the battles that went on, you know, down there were insane. But I would agree with you. There's no way you can erase that. And I think you need to actually know about it. And I think kids should have to study it. And I think they should make it mandatory that everyone learns about it. And I think that's, you know, there should be open, frank, reasonable, fair discussion about it at all levels of every education the entire way up. And I think you should absolutely have to talk about it and learn about it and know about it and have an opinion about it. And, you know, I think the people that, you know, do this stuff, these hate rallies and these, you know, these white supremacists and these neo-Nazis and all this other stuff, I think they're very scary people, and I think it's just really bad business, man. It's bad news, and it's not good, and it is. I think it's evil, and I think it's sad and pathetic, and I think it's very scary for people. And I don't think anybody wants it around. And I think the people that do it are somewhat dangerous and demented. And I think that, you know, the whole thing that went on there was just absolutely insane and out of control and bad. And there was nothing good happening there at all. And it's the same anywhere else. Everywhere. Then they tried to do it in Boston. And I think they certainly controlled it better there. And then, you know, it's just a matter of time before it's in your city or your neck of the woods or wherever that it's coming. So that's what they want to do, is spread their hate. And it's just terrible. It is what it is, though. And then all this stuff about everybody's like constantly trying to be, you know, you hear all this, oh, everybody has the right to free speech. And please, those days are so far gone. I can't even live with that anymore. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. In this, you know, for the last in I would say 15 years of my life, I don't believe there is anything at all remotely close to anything called free speech. I don't even know what that is anymore. It used to be, there used to be a time when there was free speech in this country. There isn't anymore. If you say anything now, you're in trouble, you're fired, you're suspended, you're ridiculed, you're thrown out, you're in jail, you're set on fire, you're, you know, if you don't think like us, we'll kill you. You know, you can't be like us, we don't want you. The hatred, the violence, the fire, the gunshots, the murders, the rapes, it never ends. Like, your religious beliefs, I mean, what is religion? Jesus, if you even try to, like, sell religion to somebody, there's somebody's bound to blow you up, right? I mean, you're dead. I mean, they're going to kill you. If you don't practice their religion, you're dead. So, free speech, my ass. There's no such thing anymore. What is that? What is free speech? Everything you say is going to cost you. Be careful with the words you choose, and especially in this business. I mean... But, you know, you can say one thing on the air and get fired in 5 seconds, but it's okay to be caught drunk with your pants down around your ankles in somebody else's house, sleeping inebriated, wasted, and vomiting all over yourself, and end up in jail, and you don't lose your job. Wait, oh, was that the guy from ESPN Radio this morning that they put in jail, naked with his pants around his ankles? Wait a minute, are we live? Isn't he a television star on ESPN2 every morning on SportsCenter? He's a celebrity, right? The guy that wears tennis shoes on the air? Woke up in someone's condo with his pants around his ankles, bombed? Wait, was that me? Carver, was that me?
No.
No, you lose.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.